And we give you glory, O King of Kings. We celebrate your majesty and we ask tonight that you might look upon us with mercy. Open the treasure of your counsel to us so that our steps will be ordered aright. That we might find favor with you. That you might strengthen us and cause your face to shine upon us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we do pray. Amen, amen, amen. Please celebrate the choir again. Hallelujah. We had some wonderful moments in Taraba State preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And the special feature of that mission was God's commitment to confirm His word with signs and wonders. One of those evenings, we just saw crippled people just walking in their numbers. It seems I'm more anointed when I'm not here than Jesus. All kinds of miracles. In fact, the one that touched me, I almost wept on the pulpit, was a 7-year-old boy, never heard, never spoken. The son of a pastor. And the guy's ears popped open and his tongue was loose. Hallelujah. Mighty things. When I get back to our place of rest, just to pray, just to give God thanks, He shows me strange visions about the territory. People bound by witchcraft, all sorts of darkness. Loosed. Hallelujah. And, you know, the defeat was so thorough that Satan did not, he couldn't fight us back. He just allowed us to go. It was thorough. It was thorough. So we give God the glory. And I am seriously thinking that it seems the Lord is more committed. I don't know. But I noticed strange grace from the field. Amen. The Lord is kind. The Lord is kind. And for that, we worship Him and we give Him all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Total number of deaf people that were healed on Sunday morning was 11. And the Queen of the Coast sent her, one of her maidens, to check me out. We used her as entertainment. Hallelujah. I say, ministers, you know, we don't watch football. We don't go to the stadium. We have divorced from Champions League. I even hear Nigeria is playing one World Cup. I hear from afar. So we don't have no entertainment. So God gives us our own little entertainment in the line of ministry. So when the lady began to invoke the name of the Queen of the Coast, are you leaving me here? Queen Mother, Queen Mother, Queen Mother. So we cast out the fast. The Queen Mother could not venture to appear here. We cast out the spirit and gave her the Holy Ghost for a complete package. So the Lord has been with us. It's been awesome. And I just wanted to bring that little report to show that our corporate effort in prayer is translating to great, great, great effort at extending the frontiers of the kingdom of God. All right, having said that, you may have your seat. We were dealing with the subject of sanctification. is one of the doctrines that we need to uphold afresh again. And we are on a campaign to restoring truths that have been suppressed. And the truths were suppressed deliberately in order to pave way for wantonness and lasciviousness and extra biblical practices, which is the order of the day in our time. So in order to raise the plumb line, the effort to bring into the fore some of the foundational teachings that forms our civilization and our culture as the people of God need to resurface. So I want to introduce you, or to invite you, to the book of Exodus, chapter 31, beginning from verse number 13. Exodus chapter 31, from verse number 13. Hallelujah. It says, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. That you may know that I am the Lord that sanctifies you." We are still on the doctrine of sanctification. And in this scripture, and I have other scriptures that speak in the same likeness, we see God introducing himself as the God that takes responsibility to sanctify us. And this introduction that God is giving about himself is critical, because if you are going to engage, relate with, if you are going to have a relationship, you are going to transact with a holy God, the fact that God is holy is going to affect every aspect of your life. Hallelujah. There is no way you will do business with a holy God that it will not affect every aspect of your life. So God is saying, I can't relate with you if you are not holy. We can only do business if you are holy. And I know that you don't have the capacity to make yourself holy. So I am the God that is willing to upgrade you. I am the God who specializes in sanctifying you, so that we can have the capacity and the privilege to interact with him. Because you cannot do business with a holy God without being holy yourself. Are you with me? So if we summarize the book of Genesis, it's talking about the beginnings. If we summarize the book of Exodus, it talks about the movement of the people of God from the house of bondage into the land of promise. And that movement was prophetic, because they stopped 42 times, and each point that they stopped is a very distinct part of the Christian journey. Are you there? The book of Leviticus reveals, in the light of the fact that our God is holy, then the basis of our sanctification must be defined. So the idea of the book of Leviticus is to spell out the things that we must become, the things that we need to do in order for us to be able to do business with a God that is holy. You are not following me. I need to get your attention, because you are not with me right now. I'll show you scriptures. I'll show you times in the Bible where Moses wants to appear before God. God will say, don't try it, because you don't have what it takes to come close. If you come close, I'm going to break out on you. Then I will show you other times when Moses had gone through the rigors of sanctification to a certain level that he can approach into God's presence. And then one of those times, he even came in the company of the elders of the people. He said, elders, don't approach, but Moses, you can approach. Because Moses has met my requirements for me to be able to do business with him. Now, I have taken my time. I told you I was laboring on the book of Leviticus in order for me to unveil to you the significance of every sacrifice that God required. And it is critical to preparing us and bringing us to a place where we can do business with him. God can only transact with holy beings. The Bible, trying to describe God, calls him a being whose eyes are too holy to behold iniquity. That's his nature. That is, if it were a mathematical formula, that's the given aspect. Given that X is equal to Y. Given that God is holy. And in order for you to transact with him, you must of necessity become holy. And unfortunately, we cannot make ourselves holy. It is God that takes the responsibility of sanctifying us. And we saw that the definition of sanctification is to make holy so that God can saturate us with himself. So the object of sanctification is to make us holy, and because God intends to saturate us. Are you with me? We have two aspects here. The first aspect is to be separate unto God, which we've been trying to talk about, and that's the idea of holiness. It's our separation unto God that makes us different. It's our separation unto God that makes us unique. It's our separation unto God that puts us in our own class. We are not like other people because we are separated unto God. That's the first part. The second part is the saturating part. There's only that which is separated unto him that he will saturate. And if God does not saturate us, we cannot take advantage of the abilities of God. We cannot prosecute life on the strength of the capacities of God who is within us. Now, when God was trying to teach me this, he said, come down, come out of your house and go to the car stand, the parking lot. So I came out and I went to the parking lot. And the Lord said, these are your tires. What is inside of them? I say it's air. It's all right. Do you realize that your tires run on air? Air is trapped in your tire. And your car can drive on air with all the luggage in the boot from Makurdi to Abuja. All on air. Because air is trapped. That's why the possibility of driving that car exists. I say, yes, I get that. It's all right. So what I want to do in you is that I want to be trapped in you. So that I will, just like you pump that tire, it becomes majestic and robust. And it can carry the weight of the vehicle. I also want to be trapped inside of you. And I pump you to a point where you have capacity to carry things, to prosecute destiny. Now you need to be filled with me to the uttermost in order for you to be able to exercise some dimensions of faith that are not ordinary. You need to be filled with me in order for you to be able to do the natural supernaturally and to do the supernatural naturally. All right? So, I've not come to the point of saturation yet. Saturation. God wants to saturate you wholly. He wants to saturate your spirit, saturate your soul, and take over your body. He wants to become your lust, your passion, your desire. He wants to become everything that defines your existence. See, but you cannot do business with God if you are not holy. So God identifies himself in this scripture as the one that takes the responsibility to do what? To sanctify us. If you were here in my last lecture, I gave you an analysis of God's attempt to interface with the children of Israel. I gave you an analysis of how that God established a system through which he could deal with his people, and that system was the system of the law. You know the rigor that was involved when Moses decided to ascend the mountaintop to wait on God in order for him to receive the laws of God. You know the rigor. It was 40 days. He came down from the mountain and his face was glowing. Hallelujah. But you see, the laws that God gave Moses to give to the people before Moses could come down from the presence of God, the children of Israel have broken the law that he was coming to give them. That was the reason why Moses smashed the tablets. Because the law he came to give them, the guys had broken the law before the law arrived. That was suggestive of the fact that the laws that were on that tablet do not have the power to transform anybody that is supposed to be governed by them. All right? I also told you that, you know, we liberally say that the Torah means the law, which is not wrong technically. But if you read the Torah, it's not like a book of constitution. If you read the Torah, it's like a storybook. And then the reason why it is shaped like a storybook is because you will see how that God brings his laws and how that man fails to keep the laws. Then God makes more laws to capture gray areas in their civilization, and they break all the laws. Then he makes more laws. Then they break the laws. Then he makes more laws. Then they break the laws. Then he makes additional laws. And at the end of the day, he makes 613 laws throughout the entire span of the Torah. And at the end of the Torah in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses said, he has discovered, this is experientially, that except God changes the heart of man, man cannot keep the law. I can show you in 12 instances where the Old Testament drives a possibility and arrives at a climax, and when that climax is reached, they realize that the thing that they were pursuing, they can only actualize those things under different circumstances. So Moses said that the nature of rebellion that describes humankind after the fall is locked onto his heart, for his heart is desperately wicked. No man can fathom it. And anything that God does that does not affect the heart of men cannot transform their lives. That was the summary that Moses gave. And when Jesus showed up, Jesus also testified that the things that Moses discovered was accurate. And he began to tell us where corruption comes from, that it stems from the heart. And that's why the salvation proposal from God began, it was targeted at transforming that heart. It speaks about a new heart and a new spirit, that God will take away the heart of stone and he will replace it with the heart of flesh. That was the first initiative that God put together in order to make us holy. The first thing he did at the point of your salvation, my salvation, was that he gave us a new heart. That's the first one. And that was where we ended at the last lecture. Now, second point I want to raise is that God is advertising himself as our what? Sanctifier. And I'd like us to appreciate and to understand through the scriptures God's ministry of sanctification towards the believer. For this reason, I might need to take us to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Let me introduce Jehovah Mekadishkim, which is our God, our sanctifier. When we see Mekadishkim, I will show you the way he achieves sanctification in your heart. Malachi. In order for you to understand my presentation in the book of Malachi, I will need to start from Malachi chapter 2, from the last chapter. Malachi chapter 2, from verse 17. Please stay with me, stay with me. This is very technical. So at some point, I might request for other simpler translations so that we can adequately capture the presentation. My burden tonight is to unveil God's identity when he says, I am the God that sanctifies thee. It means you cannot sanctify yourself in so much that God will be impressed. If God is impressed with your state of sanctification, it is because he found an opportunity to work on you, to administer in your heart the work of the sanctifier. Are you there? So, I want to introduce him to you tonight, and if I successfully do that, in subsequent lectures, I will show you how Jehovah Mekadishkem sanctifies you. And the reason why you need to know is because you will need to cooperate with him. He will not force his will upon you. You will cooperate with him. It will interest you to know that when I gave my life to Christ, this was not how I was. I've gone through series of sanctification, series of purifications, series of cleansings to arrive at this point, and the job is not yet done. Are you there? Oh, it's not close to be done. It's not, I'm too far away from perfection. But you see, I noticed that I'm much better than I used to be. And I did not take notice to find out at what point some changes took place. It is so infused into your being that you don't even take notice when the changes occur. Because there is a personality that is seated in your spirit man whose business is to what? Sanctify. All right. Please come with me quickly. Let us try to articulate this scripture. Verse 17 of Malachi chapter 2 says, you have wearied the Lord with your words. Oh, I think we will need a simpler translation because we are not likely to understand this verse of scripture using the King James. No. Amplified is equally complicated. We need something very simple, New Living Translation. Okay, let's do New Living. It says, you have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? You have wearied him by saying that all who do evil are good in the Lord's sight. And I would like you to underline those words. I don't know how. Your Bible is King James, so, well, that part of your King James Bible that captures this statement. Because the guys are saying, we don't know how we wearied you. Can human beings weary you? Is it possible for us, in our little efforts to weary you? They were denying him. So he now brought them education. How is it that they wearied him? They said that all those who do evil are good in the Lord's sight. That's number one. And number two, that he is pleased with them. That means these guys now call evil good. And these guys have also misrepresented God to the point where they have said that God is even pleased with that lifestyle. Have you seen people living in falsehood and they are bold about it? And you expect that God will kill them. And instead of them dying, they wax stronger. Have you seen that before? Okay, I have a story for you. We're already on track. Hallelujah. Fake people masquerading as preachers of the gospel. You see, one thing about the gospel is this. The expectation that people have of a preacher of the gospel is higher than that of a politician. That's the expectation. It's a very high standard. That if you commune with God, if you do business with God, then in every aspect of your life, in your decisions, in your actions, in your perceptions, there must be some measure of God in it. So the expectation is so high. And that's why, if you want to survive as a minister of the gospel, you will need to be so strict to yourself. Exceptionally strict on yourself. Because the expectation that people have concerning the kind of job you do is high. Are you there? So high. And if you can pay the price, it also attracts honor. But a lot of people see the honor, they don't see the price that they're supposed to pay in order for that honor to be guaranteed. Now, we have a perverse generation here. God is dealing with a generation that is perverse. Are you there? A perverse generation calls evil good. A pastor is caught in compromise, I mean outright compromise of what it means to be a pastor. And then on Facebook, people are saying, he's our man of God. Touch not my anointed. Do you know what they are doing? They are calling evil good. They are trying to say that, what are you talking about? In the sight of God, God is pleased about these matters. I hope you will expect that if we make a pastor, if we make me a governor, the governor of Benue State, you will expect that there will be no corruption. Is that not so? That when I go there, that is if I accept the opportunity, accept the responsibility, I'll go into government house. One of the things you will expect is that there will be no call girl coming to visit me in government house. One of the things you will expect is that there will be no embezzlement, because the fear of God is in his life. But our generation has come to a point of utter perversion, such that people have been trained to see evil and call it good. It is in that context that God is saying that our generation has wearied him. They have not only said that evil is good, they have also forced God. They have also spoken about God, that God doesn't have a choice. He has to accept. This thing is pleasing in his sight. Somebody robs a nation of their fortunes. They get a preacher from the pulpit to come and manage affairs of state, and he robs a nation. And then people are saying, I'm not part of that generation. Your commitment to holiness is going to make you different. It might not make you fashionable. People might not like your style, but it's going to set you apart. You will know the people that are set apart, that are unique because of their commitment to God, and the people that are common. So, in every generation, we have common pastors, common. Those ones are involved in theft, in immorality, in adultery, in common pastors. But different pastors, they stand with God. But our generation has found a way to pervert justice. And we are masters of calling good evil. And even saying that God is pleased with evil. That means, are you there? That means the deception has gone deep. That we are expecting that God will come and bless that which is outrightly evil. Now, God is saying, you have wearied me. That's what God is saying. By asking, where is the God of justice? If these things are not pleasing in the sight of God, where therefore is the God of justice? Do you get the argument? So that's why I decided to bring a simpler translation. Now, there is a nature of God that is called long-suffering. That means the ability of God to suffer long with us when we are in error, so that he can give us a sufficient long rope in order for us to turn aside and turn to repentance. The nature of God's long suffering is not by any means suggestive that our God is slack in bringing the whip of judgment, but it's an act of mercy so that those that are indulged in darkness will find sufficient room and accommodation to amend their way. Are you with me? But a perverse generation will interpret God's long suffering to mean that he is pleased with evil. And the argument that they bring to the table is that if God is not pleased, why is God not judging? So the fact that he is not judging is suggestive of the fact that he is pleased. The matter has not ended. You know, I told you originally the Bible did not exist in chapters and verse fragmentation. All right? It's a perpetual continuum. In fact, if you see the scrolls, the original scrolls, they don't have punctuation marks. They don't have commas, and they don't have full stops. Just a perpetual continuum. All right? They were fragmented into chapters and verses for the purpose of reference. So if we want to get the full understanding of Scripture, once and again, we need to take away all the fragmentation and just read as if it's a continuum. Do you understand that? All right, so we are going to read into chapter 3, and then chapter 3 is a continuation of the matter that is going on here. Oh my God, are you here? Okay, so since you got it to that point, we are going to build further. There's a desperate effort to make evil look good. I'm not like that. Hallelujah. If I fall short of the integrity that it takes to stand here, I will step down myself. Me. I will step down. I guarantee you that. I will step down and submit to the elders. So whenever you feel that I am fit to continue, come and restore me. That's how a man that wants help from God, mercy from God, that's how he behaves. He doesn't come puffing up when he is supposed to be hiding in quarantine. May the Lord give you understanding. So in view of this, let us move now to the book of Malachi chapter 3. Restore my King James. Restore it. Not, I don't know, Bonda. If I use another translation, I will not see any revelation. This is the old rugged thing. He said, behold, do you remember where the last verse stopped? All right. So, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple. You know, the reason why God was misrepresented was because people were speaking, they were the ones speaking for God, that, you know, God is pleased. That's why he has not come to judge. The only thing that can settle this quarrel is that God himself will show up. So in order for God to show up, he will send a messenger to herald his coming. So behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Stay with me. If you have read this verse of scripture very critically, you would have seen that there are two messengers in that verse. First, are you there? Is the messenger that comes to prepare the way before the second messenger. The reason why God sends a first messenger to prepare the way before the second messenger is that this second messenger, when he comes, if you are not in alignment, his visitation to you will be dreadful. So still in keeping with his mercy, are you there? Sends the first messenger. Let that messenger go and prepare the way before him. Let everyone that is committing adultery come back into alignment. Let everyone that is a thief repent and restore what he has stolen.
So that's the message of the first messenger. So that the crooked parts will can be made straight. You know, there was a time God wanted to visit and he sent Moses. He said, tell the children of Israel to sanctify themselves today and tomorrow. And I'm wondering. Tell them to wash their clothes. In fact, the sanctification was inclusive of laundry. You are not following me. Let them wash their clothes. Why? Because I am going to touch down on the third day. It's a dreadful thing to stand before the Lord unprepared. Because if he sees unrighteousness, it breaks out on you instantly. Take your time to read the Old Testament. Take your time. That God is still our God, though. That one. Oh, yeah. That's why it takes time for him to judge. So it gives you a long rope. Then you consider your ways. They say, no, I'm not right. Then you begin to make adjustments. He will begin to help you, sir, to make the adjustment so that when he eventually shows up, he will not quarrel with you. Because the moment he sees iniquity, he will break out. Because his nature will compel him to break out. And that's why a lot of things need to be fixed before you can do business with the Holy God. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? That's the reason for which sanctification is critical. Many people that you think are doing God's work are not. They are not. Because the way we know you are interacting with God is that you live a holy life. That's the only way God can do business with you. That's the only way. Then a fourth star, that's been a fourth star for decades, claims he's doing God's work. Oh, Jesus. That's why the second messenger will need to come and answer for himself. Are you there? So behold, I send my messenger. And he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek, because we've been seeking him to come and make a statement. People have already spoiled his name, they have misrepresented him, and nothing has happened because of his long suffering. So he sends the first messenger. That first messenger comes and begins to preach righteousness. Whenever you hear that sound of righteousness, are you here? Whenever you hear that sound of repentance, people calling people to repentance, when the requirement is blazing holiness, whenever you hear that sound, it is proof of the fact that the second messenger is close by. He wants to show up. That's why he sends messengers ahead of him to prepare the way. And then it is his mercy that makes him dispatch those functionaries so that when he shows up, he will not break out like a plague on the camp. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come into his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Then he gives us a question. But who may abide in the day of his coming? Think about that. Who shall stand when he appeareth? Think about that. There are two things. Can you abide? Will you still be among the faithful in the day when he comes? Can you stand when he appears? Why is he asking these two questions? Because of the way he will appear. For he shall be like what? Like a refiner's fire. That is Mekadishka, the God that sanctifies. The way he will appear is going to be like what? Like fire that refines. That fire that refines is a fire of judgment to anything that is impure, but a fire of purification to anything that is in a pure state. Now, I know all of us here did elementary intro tech. Do they still do that? Okay. What do they call it now? Well, you know it's been long. At least we still remember that an alloy is a mixture of metals. When you bring two metals together, that's an alloy.
I hope you still remember, because I went to buy something, and the guy that was selling in the shop brought one gold chain and was trying to market it. I said, hey, look, I don't have a gold chain here. I'm not a chain person. He said, this chain. I said, it's not even shining. He said, no. If it brings fire around it, the iniquity will fall off and it will begin to glow. He said, don't worry about that. I'll make it shine. So, if the material is like gold, if the material is like silver, when you bring the fire close to it, it will purge it. But if the material is different from silver or gold, what will it do to it? It will burn it. He said, who may abide when he comes with raging fire, like the fire of an inferno? Will you abide? Can you stand there and face the fire? The only reason why you can stand there is because you have good material. For he shall be like what? A refiner's fire. That's Jehovah Mekadishken, the God that purifies. And I'm going to show you how he purifies us with fire. And you see somebody in the midst of sin, in the midst of iniquity, he's still looking up to God and he's unstained. There's some fire burning inside of him there. There's fire burning. Fire burning. Are you with me? Someone will just begin to consider the way of iniquity when there's no fire. There's fire burning. So what you think is an advantage of the flesh, you can't see it. Because there's fire burning. He said, it shall be like a refiner's fire. It shall be like fuller's soap. How many of you know soda? Boy, if you are not of the 80s, you will not know soda. It's harsh. It's harsh on stains and also harsh on the fabric. It's fuller. He said, that's how it's going to come. He wants to purify you in and out, thoroughly. That's his business. So it's either he appears to you as a fuller, or he appears to you as fire. Because what is he coming to do? Next verse. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. Who are the sons of Levi? You and me. So he comes and he's not standing, he will come and sit down. It means there's serious work, we are dirty. He will sit down. He will sit down inside of your heart and he begins to challenge every thought that rises. That pornographic, this thing you want to look at in Facebook, he will challenge you. He's sitting down. He knows that he's going to spend time to work on your case so that he can purge anything that can ally with darkness, that can occasion a departure from his presence. I'm going to show you step by step what he does in your chamber and how he brings you out of where you used to be and takes you to the place that he has in mind. It's a glorious journey, but you must know how he will come. He will not come like somebody looking for a friend. He comes with fire. The fire of refinement, and it comes with the purging soda of fullers. So that he can sit in the seat of a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. That they may offer unto God an offering in righteousness. So that they can do accurate ministry, righteous ministry that he can look at and accept. That we need to be purged in order for them to be able to carry out that kind of ministry. I see what I mean. Alright, so when he finishes to work on the sons of Levi, the priesthood, we that are on the altar, so his first appearance will be to us. So when he has dealt with us thoroughly, what's the consequence in the next verse? Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto God, as in the days of old and as in the former years. Who still remembers where we are coming from? Oh, you have forgotten where we are coming from. You can't stretch your mind. I've been warned by people online that I should never cut the syllabus because of you. That they are understanding. That I should bypass you. I should not worry about you. So I've learned from them. Now I will not look at you again. I will not consider you. If you like, don't understand. They told me with authority that they follow everything is very clear to them. Do you still remember where we are coming from? We are coming from a perversion where people call evil good, where people call good evil, where people think that God has approved of evil because of God's nature of long suffering. And they have even challenged God and say, if it's not good in God's eyes, where is the judgment? You still remember? Say, okay. He said, I don't come to judge quickly. So I will send my messenger to prepare the way so that the casualties will be few. Many that are on the edge can step back into line so that they can stand when I appear. Because when I appear, I will come and sit as refiner, as the purifier of silver, to purge the sons and daughters of Levi, so that they can offer me an offering. They can bring ministry service to me in a way that I will accept. It must be in righteousness. Can you see the qualifications? All right. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem shall be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Guess what he will now do in verse 5. That judgment that they were asking for, it is after he has done this purging that he will now begin the judgment. The judgment that will show his displeasure of the perversion that has taken the whole realm captive. He is still going to administer that judgment, but after he has done a work of purging. So God's work of purging is an act of mercy to deliver people from the fierceness of his judgment. Are you following me? That's why I'm taking you step by step. We have a long way to go. To deliver people from the fierceness of his judgment, he comes to purge so that his righteous nature will not break out on you. We have so fallen as the church in Africa from the plumb line that people celebrate fraudsters and gangsters. You see people coming to defend sin on Facebook to show you how perverse and perverted the minds of men. So our values as Christians no longer matter. This is a strange generation. And they say, well, who are you to judge? What they are saying in essence is, God is pleased. The reason why we are saying God is pleased is because God has not risen to judge. God will first appear in the temple. He will appear to the sons of Levi. He will appear to them as what? A refiner's fire. Jehovah Mekadesh. I am the Lord that sanctifies you. Have you been there before? You wanted to do something, you lost your peace. You wanted to do another thing, you lost your peace. You wanted to do another thing again, you lost your peace. Not as if the things you wanted to do were simple in themselves, but God did not allow you. It's Mekadesh. Mekadesh is trying to teach you that even things that are lawful, sometimes they are not necessary. You can do without it. He wants to bring you to that place where you are separate unto him. That's how he will begin to do business with you. For many years, I prayed for power. That God should give me power. And it was as if he didn't answer. I said, okay, I don't want power again. I want you.
teach me you. Where are you? I look for him every day. Then he begins to point out terrible things about man. Those things are not things you can see, but they are there because he sees my heart. He said, this, if we leave you in the next 10 years, you will do this. This thing here, it will manifest in 14 years. This one will manifest when you are in your 50s. Then he begins to deal with it today. By the time we arrive at those years, are you there? Because he dealt with that thing, we can handle the honor he places on us at those points. Because he sanctified us. A minister of the gospel is useless if he's not sanctified. His offerings will not be accepted. Because we think that God does not have a choice to reject what we are offering. That we just package everything or anything and we present it to God and say, shut up! So a thief too is saying he's doing ministry. And there was not a time where he came to repent and left the pulpit to go look for Mekadiskel to appear as refiner. An adulterer sampling women here and there is still with the mic. That's our generation. He doesn't know that he has lost his saturation. That tire, you know, are you there? It's deflated. And you cannot ride to Abuja on deflated tires. You have lost your saturation. Anytime sin touches you, or you are moved, and then you respond in the flesh, maybe in anger, the Holy Ghost will withdraw. You will feel that emptiness. That act you did is not captured in the nature of God. You will lose the anointing you gathered for 30 days of prayer and fasting. You lose it in a moment. Then you will see how expensive those unguided moments are. I have kept this oil in my vessel for ages. This one. It doesn't leak out. If I get my man on the keyboard, even though I didn't pray that God should do miracles, if I get the guy on the keyboard to touch it, you will know that I'm full. I will begin to... You see, even saying it is already coming. But I don't want... That's not what I want now. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He's there. I'm saturated. If I call him, he will answer. Yes. But that's not the case for everybody. You can leak out the grace. You are not saturated. You cannot get to Abuja. As powerful as a car may be, if you lose the air in your tires, you need to jack the car, remove the tires, and take it for patching. It takes a process to restore you to a position where you can still contain God and be filled with God. It takes a process of time. Even the Holy Ghost that you have hurt, before he is free again to spread himself in your life, it will take a process of time. If you know what I'm talking about, you'll be careful. If you don't know it, you'll be a rolling stone. And it means you are not in the service of God. The God of the Bible is a holy God. Pretenders, lascivious people, false people are not in his service. But you see, when people say in the name of Jesus, people think that anybody that mentions the name of Jesus is in his service. So they respond. So it pays a false minister to be masquerading as if he's a genuine one. Because people will honor him. People will believe him. Even if he's lying. Because he's lying in the name of the Lord. I say, his suit, at least his suit is good. If nothing is good, the way he dresses well. That is in the eyes of men. In the eyes of God, all of that is rubbish. Because God will never accept an offering that is not given in righteousness. Are you there? All right. So, after he has finished the purging, verse 5 now says, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, said the Lord of hosts. Can you see when the judgment came? After he had appeared in the temple, he had appeared in the place of service to purify the sons of Levi. After he had appeared as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Listen to me. And I am speaking to Africa now. Jehovah Mekadishkem is coming. He has given 6 months from January to June for anyone that is ready to repent, to repent. Now, where are we now? We're in August. From August, you'll begin to see decisive judgments that God will carry out in the body. Watch it and see. He will fight against the adulterers. That's an act of child abuse. People that are infants in the spirit, he preys on them. Takes advantage of them. He will come against them swiftly. And against the sorcerers. People that have gone to look for power in the kingdom of darkness so that they can dazzle people and masquerade as though they are prophets of God. That I'm going to visit. Because I understand the fury of the visitation, that is the reason why I want to appear first as Mekadishkem. So that I can purify anyone that is crying to me to help him. I will purify him. And he will be exempted from the slaughter of my judgment when I touch down. Judgment. This is a time of judgment. From the palace of the king to the woman in the market. Watch and see. You will see the strokes of God's judgment. Even this nation will shake. Watch it. To shake in a short while. Because the time he allowed. You know, we were crying out. If you are living in fornication, come out. Jehovah is calling you. There's a window of mercy. It was Mekadishkem. He has sent the first messengers to begin to make that sound in the body of Christ. To begin to make that sound in nations. Because the second messenger, when he appears, he will be like fire. There are two questions that were asked about his appearance. Who shall abide in the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? For he shall be like a refiner's fire and like fuller soap. Did you get to that point? So God is coming to judge. A lot of people are taking him for granted, spoiling his name. Calling good evil, calling evil good. They're having a good time. He's coming to make the difference between light and darkness. He's coming to make the difference between iniquity and those that are in his service. Are you there? Now that you understand it to this point, can I take you somewhere? Can I move you a little? Then you will see what God will do. This one is a prophecy. Where I want to move you into is a prophecy. I'll come back today. To the teaching. So, can you go with me to Malachi chapter 3 verse 16. Just jump a little. Malachi chapter 3 verse 16. As I showed you a prophecy. He said, then they that fear the Lord. That means in the midst of this, in the midst of all these things, there were some guys that feared God. What is the fear of God? What is the fear of God? It's a walking of the Spirit of God in your heart that ensures that you are not careless when you walk with God. You can tell the man, the woman that has the fear of God in his heart. That means that person is up to date with God, is current with God. When you see the sign of the fear of God on someone's life, it is proof that the person is current with God. Are you there?
a certain sister has marital problem with her husband. Their marital problem is like 3 years old. Are you with me? So for this 3 years old, her husband has not touched her. Right? So, I was in the same city with the sister, but she doesn't know. If she knows that I'm in that city, she will either want to come and see me or she want me to see her. The reason why I cannot go there, are you following? It's not because I'm not a disciplined man. Are you following? I cannot go there because her husband has not touched her for 3 years. It's risky for me. You will begin to think like that when you have the fear of God. If you don't have the fear of God, you will, at 8 o'clock, you'll be there. Just ring and say, guess who? Surprise, surprise. There is a way. There is a way people that have the fear of God think. The fear of God, it makes you careful. You know, even though God is our Father, the fear of God will minister to you. That God is not only love. Have you read the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 12. It says, for our God is a consuming fire. Our God is the fire that consumes. Just like our God is love. It says, seeing that you have received the kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, in reverence and in godly fear. Godly fear will ensure that you don't overstretch the fact that He is a God of love and forget that He is a God of judgment. Godly fear is proof that you are in alignment. You are up to date with God. So when those other guys were saying, where is God's judgment? If God is not approving of this evil, but He has not come to judge. When they were saying that, some other guys were walking in the fear of God. He said, then they that fear the Lord speak often, one to another. So the people that fear the Lord, they form the clique. They formed a clique and they were encouraging themselves. It was not popular to walk in the fear of God in that time, because lasciviousness had taken over the stage. So these guys were encouraged. They formed a clique and they were encouraging themselves. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. There is no way that a believer that fears God is in the same category with a lascivious one. There's no way. Next verse, you see the consequence of the fear of God. God now says, there shall be mine. God will prove to the world that this one is my own. You will prove to the nations of the world that this one belongs to me. They shall be mine, saith God, in the day when I make them make up my precious jewels. There is a dimension of glory that I want to manifest through them. The way jewels bend light. The way they refract light, they dazzle in the midst of light. I will make them my jewels. They will be mine. I will do deliberate things, intentional things to show that these ones are mine. Okay, the other ones, are they not His? He will never identify with a man that does not honor the fact that he's a holy God. He will never identify with him. They shall be mine, said God. These are the scriptures I read that I could not cast it away from my heart and begin to live anyhow. I read the scriptures.
carried them many years ago. I even crammed them. I prayed on these scriptures. I prayed on them for years. I said, make me one of your jailers. I prayed those prayers with fasting. I prayed them with fasting. In the days that I break up my jailers, I will spare them as a man spared his own son that served him. So when God comes with judgment, he will spare the people that fear him. I will spare them. I will spare them as a man that spared his own son that served him. Yes, the man is the son of, but the man decided to serve him in the fear of respect. I will spare him. When I rage with fury, I will spare him. When I rage with judgment, I will spare him. If you know how many nights I prayed that prayer, spare me. Because I saw the judgment coming. And he sent me to herald. You know, a preacher called me and said, hey, you are doing a great work, but I can't preach like you. I can't say the things you say. Ah, who bought your mouth? Your mouth is bought? You want to be good in the eyes of men? Then you are not in the service of God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I la boko sila nila y compali. Ura mama ya to siko break on balite. I remember when a politician called me from one of our states that he wants to contest in an election. That you find out if he will win or will lose. Put me in a big hotel. You know, whenever I go for such things, I go with my transport money because I want to speak for God. And I began to look for Jesus. Began to look for him in the night. Look for him in the night. Look for him in the night. Then the man came. And he came with a parable. And he told me that he will stumble and he will fall. And I saw a huge stone before the man that invited me. He hit the stone and he fell. I said, okay, how do you tell a politician that he will not win? So I began to pray. I said, Lord, can you give me one wisdom? How are we coin this thing? So that it's when I've gone that he will not know the meaning. I prayed for that help and the help did not come. When I stood before him, I said, don't fear the Lord. You will stumble. You know my voice is not bought. You didn't call me. And guess what? My transport money was relevant that day because they forgot that they were the ones that invited me. Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt stumble and thou shalt fall in these elections. Depart and do not contest, for you will stumble, and by no means shall you rise. And I left the place, they thanked me. And I went with joy, because my voice was not bought. You know what happened thereafter? The cousin of that politician also took the ticket in another party. So the people now said, is it only their family? Does this post belong to their family? And then they forgot about two of them and took someone that was voted for somebody that was not from their family. The stone that I saw was his cousin. And the moment he emerged, he fell. When the presidential election was 2 weeks to time, so a politician came to my office up there. He was excited about his candidate. I said, we finished our discussion. I said, meanwhile, by the way, this young man will lose. Stop that! Do I want him to have a heart attack? I said, oh, I don't know you're hypertensive, but you will have the heart attack if I don't tell you this. So now go and prepare your heart. This man has failed. Then the results came out. The man failed. He called me and said,
That thing you said, the mouth is not bought. You know, I serve Jesus. I serve Jesus. I will not tell you what I have not heard. But if I hear it once, twice, three times, it will come to pass. There will be a shaking in the days to come. That's how much I will tell you for now. Are you with me? He said, there shall be mine. I will identify with them, says the Lord, in the day when I make up my jewels. I will provide evidence to show, to make them shine. I will do some things deliberately because they are my jewels. They are the ones that will bear witness of my kingdom and of my name. And I will spare them. As a man spared his own son that served him. Next verse. And then shall ye return. You know, it's not everybody that went out that came back. But he gives an assurance that you will return. Those ones that went, those ones that have cultivated the culture of my fear, you will return. They shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Can you see the division there? Him that serveth. So it will become clear in a short while who is in God's service. Because there is confusion now. It will become clear who is not serving God. At the end of the judgment that God will bring, and that judgment will start this month. When that judgment finishes, it will become clear who is in God's service and who is serving himself. Are you there? Now, maybe I will stop here so that we can pray. Even though this is the scripture that I got to introduce Jehovah Mekadishke, the one that sits in the seat of refiner and purifier of silver. In our next lecture, we are going to go into details as to how he operates within us. Then, so that when you notice some symptoms, you will know that is him. He has sat down and he wants to purge. Allow him. Give him the right of way. Cooperate with him. The man he's going to make out of you is a man you never imagined possible from your vessel. He is so skilled at purifying. And if we can identify his work and yield to him, his work will prosper in us. And they that fear the Lord spake often one unto another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written unto them that fear the Lord and thought upon his name. There shall be mine, saith God, in the day when I make up my jewels. Oh, Sakaila Boko Menai. Ilabrobe Baskatela. I will spare them. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him. We want to pray today that in this perverse generation where people call good evil and call evil good, we choose to fear you. Yeah, I choose to fear you. I choose to fear you. I choose to reverence you. I choose to walk in the revelation of your awesome holiness. I choose to walk in the light of the fact that you are different. You are separate. You are distinct. And if I'm going to walk with you, I must be separate. I must be distinct. I must become unique. A call to holiness is the call to being separate. A call to being distinct. A call to being unique. And the reason why we are unique is because the one with which we have to do is unique. It's different.
So if we are going to deal with a God that is holy, then we also must become holy. That's the only basis upon which we can do business with Him. Doing business with God is going to affect every area of your life. Yes. Because separation will be required as the standard for every area of your life. Every single area. And the reason is because you are doing business with God. I choose your fear. In a generation where people are at home with iniquity, perversion has taken place, and people exalt and celebrate darkness, I choose your way. It might not be the popular way, but your walk with God is going to make you different. Your walk with God is going to make you distinct. Oh, Jehovah, make a dish come. Purify me. Sit in the seat of refiner and purifier of silver and purge. Purge every way in me that tends to darkness. Light my candle and enlighten my darkness, O God. Shine within me with the fires of your refiner. Bring into captivity every thought in my vessel that is not of you. These are the days of the Puritans. These are the seasons of the Nazarites. Men that have a covenant with God. They are not interested in what is popular, but they are interested in what pleases God. This I remind, saith the Lord, in the day that I make up my jealous. In the day that I make up my jealous. Kubele mokosika braita kumine sele. Bresko fatula mabelendo. Ombreski topes. Behold, I send my messenger. And he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delighted, he shall come, saith the Lord. But who shall stand in the day of his coming? And who shall abide when he appeareth? For he shall be as a refiner's fire. Kose iko bramina ito. Sika benzo. Bramina kaito kombe la shile. Akai kompane. Itabala monsa katalia. Ekede mondele. Asumbre kete la bokoria balima santo. Ayalobo sekelia. Bramina koske. Alapo satua. Ebria la babo. Elia la 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 la. Sketo bondo. Iska yeko kali. Alala ye. Ayala la la la. Baba baba baba. Ala konsete. Ala mandia. Iga la 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 la. Ala la 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 la. Iska bo bo bo. Rai kanseli ko bregede la kuskaya to konte. Ala yo sokoto di makande. Ala tua li kuskanda la baboria. Eska beba monto egelete. Ege la boboria mama mama maya. Eskeda siko brante minode. Siko propotande la i. Ala brosketo brista bantelia. Apria la bababa doskate. Alia la 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 kosketo pre la makadia para koskateli inda mama ala baboria in the name of Jesus. Can you give me Exodus chapter 19 verse 22 on the screen?
Exodus 19:22.
And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. You see, the issue of sanctification is not optional. If you want to do business with God, a holy God, the requirement is submit for sanctification. If you decide to bring service without that requirement, he said there is a possibility of him breaking out upon you. If you know the God of the Bible is a God that you cannot interface with if the requirement of holiness is not sanctified. Now, as we progress in the lecture, you are going to see how God sanctifies. Can you submit yourself deliberately for the ministry of the sanctifier? That he might purge your vessel. That he might purge you. That he might purge you. That he might make you holy. He might make you holy. He might make you holy. I submit. I submit. I submit my thoughts. I submit my actions. I submit my heart. Every way of darkness in me. Oh God, I ask that the fires of your refiner might administer purging on my heart. Purging on my heart. Iso kopre makante baboria. Jemina kadia kosketo broda. Ika menso se labra katamia. Esko polo mosantele. Abrahma kata boboria, eskose saliate, ebrante kunda, ebrante babukosete, ebrante kuzamanta baboria, abranta konde, esa mina kadia, esa sale bondabe, esa santa babondele, esa semina kante boboria, abrama mamala, abrama santale, abrama madokese, abreskote brata babole bagadia. Alaito somenale Ila mama yakosketo pronde makate boboria Asama kaptemina Raskata la babonde Ika mesa iko branta babaya Akabalata babonsa mina Apreskote balato Agaborose tali Agababanta babomakate Apreskote malatalia Agaito sama Agaito sendo Eprokoto mina kate baboria Aya bastika branda babalaya Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Can we ask that the Lord will baptize us with his fear? The fear of the Lord. Are you there? The Bible says it's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord keeps you perpetually in check. Because there is a temptation for you to be overwhelmed by the fact that God is a God of love and pass into his judgment. So it keeps you balanced, keeps you restrained, so that you are not presumptuous on God. Can we ask that God will baptize us with the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Somebody talk to him. It's an instrument of balance. It's an instrument of balance.
Oh my God. Kobalabro kobese libakalia. Rombe la moseke la bruntoskito bobodia. Iko prende lele boboria. Laikos kamosani kombrela kabelaita. Mahaso se. Rescode ma boboria brante kaskude mantali. Mobrosketa manimakaria bosa brisco valimantele. Esco potomina cabela discombrela. Abuco socomanteli. Racabon sedia cubres catabogolonda. Elo mondo skito pregedali. Jamin copeta cude baboscati. Amprescoto bondo. Isco morositami. Alabro cose. Ico bababalatalia. Escombrela campeteso. Iso samadure tabilaita ambeko telemo kosito bronde asamine eli agambo skate boboria semine eli kompreskute bababondale ayabon seke ayabraske tomira ayabreka kompa ayabramasa telia abrakatala babo seme alababori basante eli. Rescoto moi, recateli moconda, yalo bosse che brante, lubrascato bocona, ande la lorobo sacaia, i capras abiso sela, amagante lait, e so sabalatua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We are going to sing that song twice. It's a declaration of your conviction. I choose the way of the Lord. And for the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. Is it true you have chosen that way? For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. One more time, second. For the way of the Lord. Ose samina braha semino hodia bobodia. That is the way of the Lord. One more time now. For the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord. I choose the way. For the way of the Lord. Sing it one more time. For the way of the Lord. To do business with a holy God, it's not optional.
Want to do business with God? Then holiness is a requirement. That intention of yours will affect every area of your life. Because our God is the Holy God. Don't say, oh, me is prosperity I believe in. I don't believe in holiness. If it is God you are expecting to get that prosperity from, you don't even qualify to do business with him if the fundamental requirement of alignment in holiness is not met. And you must know that the devil too can promise wealth. He can give wealth. Satan can give wealth. Anytime you begin to hear prosperity without purpose, the purpose of prosperity is prosper. Jesus is not the one in the center of that arena. Every time God gave any man a resource, he told him what to do with the resource. Every time. It's okay, yes. I'm just giving you prosperity. So I don't care what you do with it. That is not of God. We were in a prayer meeting like this and God spoke to me. He said, I'm going to give you a job. I just finished youth service. I'll give you a job. And you will invest in many destinies. And a great network shall be formed. God told me that. He told me that on the 13th of January 2003. Then my office was not created then yet. He told me about the job. My office was created in March. He told me about the job in January. I got the job in April. So it was clear to me what the job was for. He said you will invest in many destinies. That was how my helps ministry began. So when resources come to me, I know that the resources do not belong to me. If I want to do some personal stuff that is going to take part of the money, I need to go before God and ask him, are you approving this? Are you there? This ministry you are seeing is when you get to heaven, you will know my personal sacrifices financially to push this. To push the destinies of people. You will never know until we get there. I remember when they did not promote me for some time. I now took the Bible to where we call the zoo. You know the zoo? The Botanical Garden in Benin State University. I took my Bible there. I opened it. I told God that let him show me one scripture that I violated. Show me one scripture. Show me how I violated the covenant you gave me. The covenant to invest in many destinies. Show me from the Bible. I challenged God for 2 days. On a Saturday and a Sunday. On Monday, our chief executive came here. On Friday, my promotions were restored. Because of the argument I brought with God. You see, if I've been unfaithful, these things can happen. But I followed what you said. So show me where I went wrong. He didn't answer me. In 1 week time, he changed my fortunes. So God committed hundreds of thousands who were faithful. When he started committing millions who were faithful. Hundreds of millions were yet faithful. Because we now understood that wealth that he commits to you is like grace. You will give account of it. It is some people's wealth that made them mad, following women everywhere. Because they did not appropriate it the way God intended. Don't tell me you are pursuing prosperity and you don't know that God is the God of holiness. That the holiness matter is more fundamental
If you want to do business with God, this is a requirement. Before you say God will give you wealth, give you a wife, give you... No, those ones are secondary. The basic matter is that you realize that the God you are dealing with is a God of holiness. You cannot deal with him. You cannot transact with him if you are not holy. If you are not different. If you are not separate. So you begin to live for him. Your life is a prescription that he gave you. Hallelujah. There is nothing that will stop you from becoming mighty if you live that way. There is nothing that will stop you from becoming great if you live that way. So we'll continue again. The next time we'll come, we'll look at the sanctifier sitting and functioning within you. There are some things he does so that when you notice those things, you cooperate with him. When you begin to cooperate with him, you begin to prosper. You begin to see things line up in your life. They begin to happen. If it looks like you are passing through hard times, I assure you it's temporal. It's temporal. I've been there before. It's temporal. You are going to break through those temporal moments and enter into the fullness of the manifestation of the covenant of God. God is not a man that he should lie. If he's saying wait, wait for him. He's wise. If he's saying don't be in a hurry, oh my God, sit down and be patient. He is wise. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.